reading in verse number 36. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The title of the message tonight is, "Where are the pioneers?" But before we get into the message, let's pray and ask God to bless it. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity tonight to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint me. I pray that tonight I might have the power of Christ. Lord, we've been learning all week how we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Lord, strengthen me tonight as I preach this message. Empower me. And Lord, might the message go forth in the demonstration and in the power of the Spirit of God. And may all who have ears to hear, hear what the Word of God says. And Lord, I pray that especially the young people will be challenged tonight about what they're going to do with their lives. And Lord, certainly in a group this size, there's bound to be some whom you are calling to dedicate their lives 100% to Thee. Lord, and might they do so tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our church from time to time, Shepherdsville Baptist Church, has participated in what we call music fests or music rallies. There's a preacher I know, and everywhere he goes, he begins these music fests and he invites other churches from the area in Indiana. And at one of the last of these music fests we attended, he was speaking about some of his early challenges in the ministry. He and his family have always served in small works, in small churches. And many times when you minister in small churches, there's very few helpers to help you in all the work that needs to be done. And so early on in his ministry, when he was needing some help, he wrote a letter to the Bible college that he had attended. And he had attended Bob Jones University, and some of you may be familiar with that university. And at that time, it had approximately 5,000 students who attended. And he said that the letter that he wrote, was received by the president of the school and actually read in their chapel. And so every one of the students heard his letter. And it was a request for help. That some young couple or some young man who was attending Bible college and about to graduate might come and help them in their ministry. And can I remind you, I said that it was read to over 5,000 students. And he said in the weeks to follow, he received a publication from Bob Jones University. And he began reading one of the stories in that publication. And it was talking about a young couple who was trying to determine what God would have them to do with their lives. And as the article went on, it began to state how this couple had decided to go and to help in a quote-unquote small work. And the pastor who was sharing this story, you could tell, was probably getting a little bit excited when he was reading that. Were they going to be coming to my church and to help us? But as he got to the end of that article, he realized they weren't coming to his church, but instead they were going to a small church which had 300 members. probably by most of our standards, not a small work and not a small church. And most people aren't interested in serving somewhere where they have to make sacrifices. You see, a young couple going to a church of that size probably won't have to worry about working outside of the church. The church probably would meet all their needs, but that's not the way it is in smaller works and in smaller churches. And as the preacher shared this story to us, he asked a question. And the question he asked was, where are the pioneers? Where are the pioneers in Christianity? Where are the laborers who will be willing to serve the Lord in a place where they're called upon to sacrifice? And I'm afraid today that we have a shortage of Christians who are willing to be pioneers, who are willing to serve in places where they have to sacrifice. Maybe some of you young people don't really understand what a pioneer is. A pioneer is someone who goes places that others have not been. A pioneer is someone who does things that others have not done. It's someone who sacrifices right now for a better future. When I think of a pioneer, I think of the TV show that was very popular when I was young, Little House on the Prairie. Some of you have probably watched Little House on the Prairie or read the books. Well, the story is about a family that, first of all, lives in the big woods in Minnesota. And it was a more populated area. Matter of fact, there became to be a huge number of trappers and hunters in the big woods. And as a result, the game, that is, the animals that they hunted, were becoming more and more scarce, and just because of the sheer number of hunters, it was actually becoming dangerous to live in those woods. Matter of fact, one day Paul heard a gunshot, and it scared him for a few minutes because he knew that his daughter was playing in those woods. And he ran to where she was and was relieved to know that she was okay. But that was enough for Paul. He said, we're going to leave the big woods. We're going to leave our families. We're going to leave our friends and our neighbors and our home. And we're going to go to the prairie. We're going to go out west. We're going to make new trails. We're going to go to places where there aren't any people or where there are very few people, where we have to start all over again, where we have to build our own house and build our own fence and plant our own seed. He was willing, though, to do that for the promise of a better future. He was willing to sacrifice so that he might have greater opportunities, and most certainly so that his children could have greater opportunities. And so he went to an unsettled land that had wild animals, Indians, and harsh winters. But he risked these dangers for the hope of a better future. You know, the Apostle Paul could be considered a pioneer. In Philippians chapter 3, he gives a little testimony about his desires, what they used to be, and what they became. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he says, if I wanted to, I have reason to boast in the flesh. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day, and that's what the Old Testament law prescribed for the children of Israel, the sons of Israel. He says, I am of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And he goes on and on, and he talks about his heritage, and he talks about his position, and this in turn speaks of his wealth and his popularity, but you know what he says in this chapter? He says, I gave up all those things. He says, I counted all of it but dung. He said, I counted it all but a pile of manure that I might win Christ. He gave up everything. He put it all on the altar as a sacrifice to God so that he might know Jesus Christ better and so that he might help others to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where are the Apostle Pauls today? Where are the pioneers? Where are the young people, the teenagers, and the adults who are willing to count all this world lost to go in search and service for Jesus Christ? I'm sure you young people have heard of the pilgrims who came to this new world when there was no one here except the Indians. The pilgrims would sail over on the Mayflower. In all, there was 102 people on the Mayflower. And when they left Europe, they left everything that they were familiar with. They not only left family and friends and houses and jobs and businesses, but they also left towns and villages and stores and meat markets and seed companies. They left everything behind to travel to a barren land, to a land that did not have such modern conveniences. Matter of fact, most of what we know about the pilgrims was written by William Bradford, who became their leader. And did you know that William Bradford not only left all those things I just mentioned behind, but he also left behind his 5-year-old son to come to this new world? They would travel over the sea for a period of weeks. 65 days they would be in the dark bottom deck of the ship. Most of the time, that area was closed up so there was little or no ventilation. They couldn't take baths. They couldn't change their clothes. And I can only imagine what they did and where they went to the bathroom. They ate cold food, as they didn't have the ability to start a fire. Their bread became so hard, they had to take a chisel to break it apart and then to eat the little pieces. And even the grain, the food that they had brought on board, had bugs crawling all over it. There was one woman in these conditions that actually gave birth to a child on that voyage to the new world. And when they got to this new world, William Bradford wrote, they had no friends to welcome them, no inns to entertain them or to refresh them, and their weather-beaten bodies. He said there was no houses, there was no town to go to and to seek aid. When they landed, there was nothing. And you might ask yourself, why would they ever make such a journey? Why would they ever leave everything that they knew behind to travel to this new world? Especially when you consider what would happen over the next 3 months. Because they call January through March the starvation period. And in those 3 months, their numbers would be cut in half. Of the 26 family heads, that is 26 of the dads, 14 of them would die. William Bradford wrote that some days two or three people would die. And he said there was barely six or seven healthy people among them to care for those who were ill. Why did they do this? I use these men as an example. Why did they leave home? Why did they risk all? Why did they make such sacrifices? They did it for the chance of freedom. They did it for a hope of a better future for themselves and for their children and for their grandchildren and for you and I. And I feel I'm thankful that they were willing to make those sacrifices. Because it's because they were willing to make those sacrifices that we live in this land of freedom today. And America may not be today what she was 100 years ago, but America is still one of the best places to live on this planet. So praise the Lord for those early pioneers. Praise the Lord for those pilgrims who are willing to leave everything behind and go in search of a better future for themselves and for you and I. There's another group of pioneers in American history I want to talk about, and it's our founding fathers. They certainly were the first of their kind. They forged, they created a new nation. They were discussing in those days whether or not they should declare their independence from England. Because at that time, all the early colonies were a part of old England. But they were tired of the tyrannical way that they ran the colonies. And they were about to create a new nation. But of course, when they would declare their independence from England, England would not appreciate that. And they would become a target of the English armies. Five of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were captured and tortured before dying. 12 of the signers had their homes raided and burnt to the ground. 2 of the signers lost their sons in the war. 9 of the signers themselves died because of wounds that they had incurred during the war or hardships that they incurred during the war. Carter Braxton, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, was a wealthy businessman, and the British Army destroyed all of his ships, and he died a poor man. Thomas McKean hid as the British armies approached his house, and as a result, lost all of his worldly possessions. Francis Lewis's wife died after being imprisoned by the English armies. But perhaps one of the saddest stories is that of John Hart, another one who signed his name to the Declaration of Independence. When the armies of England began to approach his house, he fled into the wilderness and into the swamps, and he spent the next few days and weeks going from swamp to swamp and forest to forest. And there was one particular time where he abode and hid and lived in an outhouse alongside of a dog. But when he fled, he left back at home his wife and 13 loving children. When he learned that his wife had died due to all the stress, and when he finally returned to his home, he never found any of his children, and he would never see them again. Some may conclude maybe they shouldn't have signed that document. Maybe they should have did things differently. Because those losses, for many, are just too to you something that President Ronald Reagan said many years ago about our founding fathers. He said, this was true of those who pioneered the great wilderness in the beginning of this country. Again, talking about the pilgrims. As it is also true of those later immigrants who were willing to leave land, the land of their birth, and to come to a land where even the language was unknown to them. He said, call it chauvinistic, but our heritage does set us apart. He said, our history as a nation sets us apart. It makes us different than other nations. He said, some years ago, a writer who happened to be an avid student of history told me a story about that day in Philadelphia Hall. He says, there were honorable men there, hard-pressed by a king who was flouting the very law that they were willing to obey, debating whether or not they should take the step of declaring their independence. It was told by this man that the story could be found in the writings of Jefferson. President Reagan admits he never sought to determine whether or not the story was true or not, but he told it nonetheless. The story described the atmosphere and the strain of this debate that was taking place there in Philadelphia. He says, as men for the first time faced the consequences of such an act, the walls resounded with the dread word of treason at its price. What he's saying here is those men who were trying to determine whether or not to sign the Declaration of Independence were wondering what might happen to them if they signed that document. And they knew that if they signed that document declaring their independence from England, that it was possible that they'd be tried and found guilty of treason and hung on the gallows. As the day wore on, the issue hung in the balance. And then, according to the story, a man rose in the small gallery. He was not a young man and was obviously calling on all the energy he could muster, citing the grievances that had been brought to them, that had brought them to this moment. He said, sign the parchment. He meant sign the Declaration of Independence. He said, they may turn every tree into a gallows. He says, they may chop down these trees, and they may make things to hang us from. But he said, sign the document. He was saying, it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the cost. He said, every home they may turn into a grave. Yet the words of that parchment can never die. For the mechanic in his workshop, they will be the words of hope. To the slave in the mines, freedom. And yet, if my hands were freezing in death, I would sign that parchment with my last ounce of strength. Sign, sign, at the next moment the noose is around your neck. He said, sign that document. He said, if you can hear the footsteps of the soldiers approaching this building to try you for treason, he said, sign the document. He said, it would be worth the cost. It would be worth the price. And those men signed that document. And many of them paid for it with their lives and with their fortunes. But friends, can you just stop for a second and consider where we are today as a nation? And it's all because of the sacrifices of those men in the past. It's all because they were willing to count the cost and go through with the sacrifice so that not only they could have hope of a better future, but so that we could have hope of a better future. These men never saw the fruits of their sacrifices. They never saw what this nation would become. They never saw it prosper in number. They never saw it prosper in industry. They never saw it become a superpower. They never saw it send out hundreds of missionaries. They never saw it build a church on every corner. But now teenagers, it's some adults who will say, Lord, hear me! I will be a pioneer! I will serve you where it costs me! I will serve you even though it means that I must sacrifice! Where are the pioneers who will forsake all for the souls of men? Young people, early on when I began serving the Lord and learning of the Bible, I felt God calling me to give up my dreams and ambitions and to follow Him. And maybe God is calling upon some of you men to forget about your plans, to forget about your goals, to forget about your dreams, and to simply serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And young ladies, maybe that's what God is calling upon you to do. I know many of you have plans. There are things that you want to do with your life. Would you be willing to sacrifice those plans? Would you be willing to lay them on the altar and say, God, you can have those. I'll serve you. How many of us are truly willing to make sacrifices so that other people can hear the gospel? You know, you young people are blessed to have a group of people here this week who will minister to you and preach to you the gospel and the truths of God's Word, because not everybody has the opportunity to hear the things that you've heard this week. And you know, because of that, God will hold you more accountable than He will others. Again, I simply ask the question again, where are the pioneers? Will you serve the Lord even if it costs you something? Our forefathers took action even though it cost them dearly. The pilgrims, they took action even though it cost them dearly. The Apostle Paul, he took action even though it cost him dearly. And may I just say one last thing? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He took action even though it cost Him dearly. He left His home in heaven. He left all that He was comfortable with. He left the Father. He left the angels who adored Him. And He came to a world that cursed Him. And He came to a world that rejected Him. And He sacrificed His own life so that we could have a better future. Young people, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, you need to be saved. Don't leave this campground this week until you are sure that you're on your way to heaven. And those of you who are saved, I want to challenge you. Will you be the next generation of pioneers? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this week of camp. Thank You, Lord, for all the messages that have been preached. Thank You for all those who have come to serve here this week to help make this camp a success. And Lord, I pray that tonight's message would challenge everybody in this sanctuary. I pray, God, that we would all examine our own hearts to see whether or not we're willing to be the kind of pioneers that we talked about tonight. Lord, our Savior told us to pray for laborers. And God, I pray for laborers tonight. I pray that You'd call some of these young people into Thy service and that they would serve You even in places where it will call upon them to sacrifice. Lord, we thank You for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Him being willing to come and to die for our sins. Lord, I pray again that if there's any lost, that You'd draw them unto Thyself and that they would call upon the Lord to save them. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.